Hello and welcome to Unquestionably Nerdy, the show where we talk about everything that makes us want to geek out, freak out, and take you to our leader. I am one of your hosts, Cadden MacArthur, and whom am I joined by?
I am joined by your favorite co-host, someone who's just completely out of this world, Cole Browning. Cadden, have we finally gotten to what I'm going to assume, the green people, the gray people, those in spaceships? Is it finally time?
Yes, I would say everything you just said is accurate. Yesterday, Cole, we are talking about aliens.
Love it. Well, Superman, my favorite alien.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Marvin the Martian, also an alien.
Another good alien.
The alien from Alien.
Mm.
That may be my extent of aliens right now.
Oh, yeah. I guess we have talked to some degree about aliens if we've talked about Superman. And I guess Iron Giant is an alien, I think.
I guess so.
From our robots episode.
He's an alien. Have we secretly just kind of been like an alien podcast this entire time without actually realizing it?
I mean, is Mothman an alien? Is the Jersey Devil an alien? Are the Chupacabras an alien? We had an episode all about them and more.
You're right. Everybody, I think this is the podcast where we can announce our name change. We're just going from Unquestionably Nerdy to Unquestionably Alien.
No. We're getting ready for our otherworldly visitors.
That's true. I was going to say, as
making
long
sure welcome.
We have to make sure that our podcast is the perfect thing to put in, like, the satellite information packages. Because if anything, when they show up, we want to be one of the few that isn't, you know, like, cooked for dinner.
Yeah. We want to make sure our home and our podcast space is open to all visitors. But that being said, putting aside any discussion of future alien encounter stories, today we're going to talk about alien encounter stories that have already happened. Not specifically ours, but we can start with ours. Cole, have you specifically had any alien encounter stories? You've lived in Florida longer than I have. I'm sure you have more information than I do.
You know what? I honestly think I have less.
Oh.
I feel like I've had ghost stories throughout living in Florida. You know, you have old, like, creepy abandoned buildings, old houses in the South. Everything in the South is haunted. But true. Aliens, I really can't think of anything that would have been aliens. I keep on trying to think of a few things. But, yeah, a few things. Maybe once or twice I've seen something, like, in the sky that just moves extremely fast. But also, where we're from, the military is a thing.
True.
So I can't really say that was an alien encounter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did live next to an Air Force base.
So, I mean, what about you? You lived farther out in the middle of nowhere.
No, I didn't. I lived in Madison, Mississippi. I lived in Madison, Mississippi, then I lived in Fort Walton. Now I live in Atlanta, so I guess I have the AT aliens.
I would still count Mississippi as out in the middle of nowhere.
That's not unfair. That's not unfair, actually. Even if it is Madison. But me, no, I haven't had any close encounters of such a kind. I'm on kind of the same page. Of any paranormal encounters that I could name, they're more related to the supernatural rather than the extraterrestrial. But we'll get to that in a future ghost encounter episode. But if we haven't had any direct contact with aliens that we can name and put a face to, aside from that, Cole, big question, do you believe in aliens?
100%. That.
Oh, yeah? No doubt?
Yeah, no, there is something else out there. Now, do I think that they are, you know, the green people, the little gray Martian-looking things, Superman, anything from the Green Lantern Corps? I have no idea. But I do believe that there is something else that is a living creature that exists outside of Earth.
Mm-hmm. how far, where, at what point on the spectrum of Project Hail Mary do you think they might be, like the bacteria side, the bacteria sized life forms side of it, or the rock shaped America's Sweetheart version? Have you seen Project Hail Mary and or read Project Hail Mary?
I've actually not seen nor read Project Hail Mary. I'm sorry, so behind the recent pop culture. I've been watching my horror movies instead. But I would find that I think they could take any shape. I think it being creative, I was going to say, if it's like some living being that looks like rocks, then it is. That's not something that I would immediately say, no, that's impossible.
Right.
I do feel like, though, that whatever it is out there is intelligent. Of at least human intelligence. Because I, of course, believe that we have been visited on Earth.
Oh, you think it goes that far?
So, yeah, in order for us to have been visited, it has to be something of at least human intelligence, and just existed longer than humanity, or extremely intelligent.
Okay.
So I don't really have a view on how that looks, but that's kind of my thing, is I do believe that there have been aliens, you know, at least in our solar system. There's probably a good chance that they've been to Earth, which that requires some scale of, you know, intelligence.
Right. I tend to side with that side of the argument as well. Like, the universe is so massive, and we've seen comparatively so little of it, and the view that we have of so much of it is however many light years old, as the light from distant stars and planets takes so long to reach us, that we're viewing the relative past of their of these planets' existence. So the universe is so big, and what we can see of it, we are so behind on in viewing. There has to be something out there, whether it is intelligent life form that have made it all the way to us, or it is like still at a bacterial stage. Who the heck knows? The universe is a crazy place, and it's such a diverse enough space full of exceptions to the rules that we understand, that who knows what form those life forms take. Whether they will look sort of vaguely humanoid, or like the grays, or like completely alternate, you know, space squids that resemble humans 0%, or their little adorable rock-shaped companions.
Hey, space squids? I think you're just talking about an octopus. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but there is a theory that because of some of the intelligence of octopi, that they are alien species.
Oh yeah, they're practically aliens.
They practically are.
Yeah, practically aliens from the other direction, down instead of up.
Hey, we never know if aliens have been on Earth. We don't know where they've set up their bases.
It's true. It's true. We know less about the ocean than we do about space. Everybody's favorite point to bring up when discussing if aliens exist. They just say, "Yep, they're at the bottom of the ocean." Can disagree with that. Cthulhu's an alien. He's down there.
I mean, how could Cthulhu... No, I mean, you're right. Cthulhu's an alien.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, how could Lovecraft have written his stories about these eldritch beings if he hadn't seen them before?
Exactly. Can't make that shit up. It was the 40s.
Exactly. No one would have believed you just came up with some demonic squid monster.
Nobody had an imagination then.
You would have had to have met the demonic squid monster.
Exactly. Well, that's at least, dear audience, where we stand with our lack of encounters with aliens and full faith that they're out there anyway. But we're not going to talk for the majority of today's episode about where we stand with it and where our encounters stand with it. We're going to talk about the encounters of the internet. Those people on the internet who always tell the truth 100% of the times, what alien encounters you have had, and where better to go for accurate depictions of perceptions of the world than, of course, Reddit.
My bullshit detector is flying right now.
It's like the EMF EMF detector on Supernatural.
I would say it's beeping like crazy. The glass is cracking.
It's over 9,000.
I'm scared of whatever you found.
Well, most of these aren't terribly scary. Some of them are a little scary from what I've read. But I want to get your takes on these stories and whether or not you believe any of them, Cole. And dear audience, you can give us your opinions as well. I'm sure you will. But we can go ahead and get started with our first post, why don't we? This comes from subreddit r/AskReddit on a comment on a post, parentheses, serious. I love when they start out that way. Redditors who claim to have encountered aliens. What's your story? And this comment comes from user Darina. Here we go. I've posted this before, but I'll do an abbreviated version. This was something that I still can't quite explain, even after trying to come up with rational explanations and posting it on various Reddit threads. I was coming home one night from work at about 2 a.m. I approached a church that I passed every single day. The first weird thing I noticed was a radio tower-esque light hovering above it. It was red and was blinking in an unusual manner. Most radio towers have an alert light that has some kind of pattern to it. This one was just going nuts. The next thing I noticed was that all of the streetlights in the parking lot were out. This place had a very well-lit parking lot that was completely black. I pulled up to it and immediately hit the brakes. Hovering about 200 feet above the steeple was a long airship with weird vents protruding off the sides. The vents seemed to be spotlights that were illuminating the churchyard and some of the street. It made no noise. It just hovered there like a weird balloon, perfectly silent. It even drifted slightly to one side. I was in shock. I remember sitting there going, "What the fuck? I've seen blimps, helicopters, planes." It was none of these. After watching it in shock for what seemed like 20 minutes, but it was probably just seconds, it shot off, like 0 to 100 in mere milliseconds. I tried to follow it, but in moments it was a speck, and then it was gone. I told my friends about it, but of course it was one of those, sure, conversations like, obviously they don't believe me. I'm not into alien conspiracies, nor am I a, quote, skywatcher, unquote. Had I not seen it with my own eyes, stone sober with the closeness that I did, I wouldn't believe it either. I kicked myself for not taking a photo, but my phone at the time was a BlackBerry with a 3-megapixel camera, so it would have just looked like a black blob. Now, it's just another unbelievable story. I do like his framing, if this story is fake, of an alien ship, a black alien ship, posed in the middle of the night, hovering above a church steeple. That's epic. That's cool. I like that.
It is great framing. My initial instinct is probably a 7 on the bullshit meter.
7.
Yeah, because it sounds like the man is like some sort of science fiction writer, right? Mm-hmm. Like the way that he wrote it was like, it sounds like too much effort was put into basically making it sound epic.
Mm-hmm.
However, I mean, he got kind of like the hallmarks of what people would think of, you know, shooting off from like 0 to 60 in like nanoseconds.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean that's something that I think is pretty believable. Is a lot of the time it could just be things that are hovering and then just shoot off. I feel like that's kind of a pretty common testament, and that kind of goes to the, well, if aliens are here and we don't think they're in the solar system, then they have to move pretty goddamn fast to get here, so we know that they have faster than basically any human travel allows for currently.
Yeah.
So that made sense to me. The thing about the parking lot's lights being out.
Yeah.
Also just seemed like a strange enough detail That wasn't one of the things that kind of made me think, oh yeah, this guy's lying. Like, that was an interesting detail because
it seems innocuous enough.
Yeah, because it seems kind of innocuous enough, but it is also kind of that idea of like, it's messing with basically the, you know, electrical signals around there. I don't get why there's like this weird like light, this red light that's just basically going haywire as this thing is just sitting there.
Yeah, the weird radio tower light.
Yeah, because like it would have made sense if it's like, oh yeah, this radio tower light is just there and it's going ham. But he didn't say it was part of a radio tower. And I'm like, okay, so if the radio tower light's going ham and all of these lights are out, then there's like some sort of a like electromagnetic pulse or something that's just fucking with any electromagnetic waves. That would have made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like the hallmarks of things that I would be inclined to believe and be like, ah, yes, this sounds like, you know, what I think a true alien story would be, are there. But like the way he wrote this though sounds too well polished.
You think it sounds too novel-esque?
Yeah, it sounds way too novel-esque of a story. Almost like it was explicitly meant for Reddit.
Right. That's where I kind of leaned with it a little bit. Like, it's Reddit, it's people posting on Reddit, and people post shit that is true on Reddit all the time, and there are also people looking for clout and attention and likes and karma on Reddit. So, like, if somebody writes something in an epic or dramatic style that's from a real story, it could just be like, you know, an English major who just thinks in that overly dramatic sense when writing shit down. Or it could be somebody writing a story they want to frame as real and writing it in a way that will attract attention. So to me, that the epic writing style, the novelesque, the short horror story kind of writing style is a 50-50 as to whether or not that makes it bullshit or not.
My other question towards its bullshit validity is, why the fuck was this hovering over a church?
I don't know, but it sounds cool.
I mean, it is cool if it was hovering over a church. Because
over the steeple?
That would be like some crazy first contact thing of were they trying to land and then crawl down from the steeple, or was there somebody in the steeple trying to make contact? Now see,
ooh, yeah.
Those are crazy things where my kind of like sci-fi mind is going. But also,
yeah, it's
there's a lot of places where like if this was close to a church.
Where in town was this?
Where in town, yeah, was this? Because it seems like most churches are going to get traffic right around them. And I'm like, I really just want to know where you were from. Because I'm like, if churches like aren't in the middle of like brightly lit suburban areas, they're going to have these very well-lit parking lots. And if they have these well-lit parking lots, then that means there's probably not a lot of houses around, but there's also people probably driving past it very often.
Yeah, he definitely poses this. Definitely poses this as like the easy to explain away framing of there was no one else there and the parking lot was empty and it was pitch black. But like churches are of course places of worship, but they're also workplaces for, you know, the members of the church staff. So it's not unlikely that, you know, choir practice is going on late at night, or a pastor is working on a sermon late at night or whatever.
Yeah, that's kind of my issue with it. But again, not all churches have that night thing. So it is still believable. But it being hovering above a church, to me, it just kind of brings down the believability just a bit, because I'm thinking, this is somewhat of a public place. Like, depending on the time of day, it just doesn't make sense that you would be the only one, unless this was just like a church on a country road and you were the only person that existed on this country road.
Yeah. Story's pretty vague. Lots of details left out. Maybe that's on purpose. There are even details like the, oh, I would have taken a picture, but my BS BlackBerry camera wouldn't have looked like anything. But if we were in that time frame where, like, we're saying he, Darina.
I still would have attempted the picture.
Right. Darina is posing that point about the BlackBerry from a modern day perspective where they're able to say, like, oh, a camera nowadays would have taken a way better photo. They wouldn't have thought about that at the time, right? They would have just thought, oh, my phone's got a camera on it. Let me take a quick picture.
Yeah. I still would have attempted and been like, all right, even if this picture turns out shit, if I think this is aliens, I'm taking a fucking picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, if this story is real, we're digging into this pretty hard, but if this story is real and Darina's telling us the whole truth, but maybe it's not aliens, what else could it be? My thought immediately goes to drone of some kind, some quietly hovering aircraft above a church steeple, a red blinking light, like a recording light.
It could definitely be a drone recording. That wouldn't be out of the question. The only thing that's making me think, this kind of sounds like a actual fucking alien story. From their description, this airship, it sounds pretty fucking big.
Maybe. It's also at a distance, so who knows? They say it's not. Oh, well, I guess they do say it's pretty big. If it's, like, comparative to blimp or helicopter or plane size. But it's also at a distance, so who knows?
Yeah, also.
And if it is, like, 200 feet in the air and, like, Darina is in their car, then you probably wouldn't be able to hear the sound of a drone flying off in an instant.
Actually, better fucking question. How the fuck would you see something 200 feet in the air from the road, from inside of your car, with, like, your windshield and all of your mirrors and everything else?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
in the pitch black night.
In pitch black night, when you say that, like, all of these lights in this parking lot were off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the other thing. I'm like, I wouldn't even know to look 200 feet in the air. What made you want to look 200 feet in the air when you said, oof, the lights are off, and not, maybe the power went out?
Maybe Darina has a convertible. Maybe they had the top down this night.
Maybe. I mean.
But if Darina really wanted to push the horror short story writing style of this, they could have posed it as, like, this is in a rural town in the south where, you know, the church is a bit of ways out of town, and it's a starry night where you can see every star in the night sky except for one dark void that is just replaced by one blinking star. But it's not a star at all. It's a red light on a spaceship, and you can see the outline of the spaceship from where the gap in the stars are. There you go, Darina. There's your next horror story.
And audience, if you would like Cadden to turn these ideas into a short story.
Oh, next episode.
Let us know in the comments. We'll have him write them.
Trademark, copyright, dibs. Credit to Darina. But thank you to Darina for that first story. I'll give it a 6 out of 10 in believability.
I'm going to give it... I don't know what it would be on my believability scale. I guess that would make it like a 4.
4.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go up to a 5.
5. I feel like this is simple enough to be true. There's nothing like, and then the light opened up in the sky and I was raised up into the air as they abducted me and probed me. There's nothing like that. It's pretty straightforward as to, like, there was something in the sky. I couldn't really make it out. It was dark.
But again, why the fuck did you tell us about your BlackBerry?
Yeah. Well, that's our first story, and now we can move on to our second post. This comes from, again, the same post on r/AskReddit, asking Redditors who have encountered aliens, what's your story? And this comes from user number 800. And here we go. A fellow Floridian. Of course they are. About 2 years ago, I was in Naples, Florida with my friend, staying at his dad's place. We were on the porch, having a smoke around 11 p.m. I was leaning on the railing when suddenly what I thought was a plane in the distance turned towards us. It was flying so low that the front lights blinded us. My friend scrambled for his phone, which turned out to be dead, and I, fearing I would miss it, didn't want to run inside to grab my phone. Though the craft was steadily gliding, it was all happening so fast. As the object got closer, we noticed it was a huge triangle, almost venti black, and had three huge circular lights on the bottom. It was so close that just above the trees right in front of the building, just above the trees right in front of the building, it was so silent. The only thing making sound was the trees rustling below the craft. Then the huge black triangle motherfucker turned on a dime right in front of us and disappeared over the tops of the buildings. I swear to God this happened. I wouldn't have believed what I saw if I didn't see it with someone else. So, my first thoughts. Starting right off comparatively to Darina's post, user number 800 immediately puts a second witness there with us, as Darina did not, so we have a second account that is not included in this post.
Also the fact that they said the word motherfucker.
They said motherfucker.
I,
this is a rated R horror story.
And personally, I think less detail.
Yeah.
Like less.
Oh, you think so?
I think there was less important detail.
There's more detail on the craft itself, the triangular shape, the three huge lights.
Well, see, here's the thing. My believability scale is probably at like an 8 or a 9 right now.
Okay.
But my alien scale is only at like a 3. Like the way that it sounds, it almost sounds like it could have been a drone. Like more than the previous one. Because the previous one said massive fucking airship with blinking red light that just went like 0 the light speed.
Mm-hmm.
This one, like this kind of like diamonds kind of triangular shape. I mean, we've kind of seen what, like, you know, the X-Men ship looks like.
Yeah.
And, you know, how that was based off of, well, it was probably based off of, like, the same, like, supersonic ships that we know that, like, the government had in, like, the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
That they were working on. I honestly forgot what it was called. It wasn't Nightwing.
Oh, God. I had no idea.
Was it the Blackbird?
Yes.
It may have been the Blackbird. But to me, like, the shape works out. If it had, like, three huge fucking lights, you'd say they're probably, like, one on, like, either end of some sort of wing structure and just one on the bottom and the front.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with the story isn't that I don't think it's believable. It's the fact that it really sounds like it could have been a drone.
Yeah. It sounds like it got really close to them, to OP and their friend.
Oh, yeah. It definitely sounds like it was, say, it was definitely less than the football field. In my head, the description that I'm kind of seeing, which, again, audience, could be entirely wrong, is this was no more than, like, a extra point attempt, a PAT. Mm-hmm. Which is maybe 20 yards.
Mm-hmm. Although it can't have been, like, drone-sized if they're talking about the only sound was coming from the trees that it rustled the tops of as it approached. It sounds like it sounds from the description, what did they say? Fucking, where's the line? Trees, they've been to black. The only thing making sound was the trees rustling below the craft, which makes it sound massive, like it's got enough force and size to, you know, disturb the canopy on a large scale.
Yeah, you're right there.
Can't have been something drone-sized. Unless they were two drunk Floridians, you know, in that I caught a fish this big style, and it gets bigger with each telling of the story until they believe it was the size of a fucking 18-wheeler.
It could have been that.
That happens in Florida.
I mean, that very much sounds like more a description of every other southern state, but it's definitely something that could have happened in Florida, especially with like gator wrangling or something.
True.
Okay, so it is larger. I don't know. There's something about the second witness, though. And And the part of it just seems very believable, where, of course, it kind of just seems like the, oh, my friend's phone is dead, that's why we didn't get the thing. But then he was also just like, my friend immediately tried to take a picture of it and then basically said, fuck. And then he said, I ain't missing this shit.
I'd rather be abducted than miss this.
It just sounds very genuine.
Yeah. It's a short post too.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with like a 6. I still think it's probably like a 8 or a 9 on like my believability, but maybe only like a 5 or 6 on it actually being aliens. And not something else.
I think I'll go 7 believability, because I feel like it definitely could be that situation of the fish was a mile long type story. The alien spacecraft was as big as a football field type shit. I think it definitely could be that, as they're on their dad's porch drinking some beers at 11 o'clock at night. I feel like it could be an over exaggeration moment.
Yeah, I was going to say, am I pretty damn confident, just based on reading this post, that something happened? I'm pretty damn confident.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to say it happened the way that they did it? That could be a stretch. But like I said, there was probably something that flew at them and they said, fuck it, we think this is an alien. And whether it was or not, up for debate. There's probably a bit of exaggeration in there.
I'll give it a 7 believability, 5 alien. But we'll move on to our next post, which comes from r/paranormalencounters user Inferno Wife. This one is an interesting post, and we'll get your reaction after. Here we are. As a teenager, I had a strange series of unexplained interactions with 3 different quote-unquote visitors around the age of 15 or so. All 3 were during some stage of sleep. The first experience was late at night after I had been asleep for a few hours and seemingly woke up for no reason. I woke up in a slight fog and became very lucid to the presence of someone or something nearby. I remained still and pretended to sleep with my eyes still closed as I heard my bedroom door quietly open and I could hear the sound of light footsteps on my carpet as this visitor entered my room. This whole time I could feel their presence slowly moving from the door at the left side foot of the bed and make their way around to the right side of the bed where the moonlight was flooding into my room. I feel like I could see the room itself as this was happening, but not the visitor. I felt them stop, and it was as if they were either watching me or watching the moon outside the window. I was frozen as my instincts told me to basically play dead, as if I were being observed by a predatory animal like a bear or a great white shark who wouldn't attack me if it didn't feel a reason to. I didn't feel like I was so much frightened as I was just frozen and very confused, yet somehow very aware of the passing of time, which felt like I was nearly suspended in time. I remember speaking to this visitor telepathically in my mind, asking if it could hear me and if so, to give me a sign. Next thing I know, I woke up and forgot anything happened until I remember that my door was locked when I went to bed and that it was unlocked when I woke up for school that morning. It didn't occur to me until later that day. I don't know what it was, but I have vivid dreams every night since I was a kid, and 99% of them are not like this was. It feels like a memory of an experience, not a distant dream. I remember every detail today, and I'm 28 now. The next was a dream where I was lucid in the dream because I was suddenly aware of someone else watching me in my dream. I was walking through an empty playground at night when I noticed this very, 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 very handsome person sitting on top of one of those metal climbing structures that are shaped like a dome. The moon was shining brightly and the moonlight saturated everything blue. This person triggered the most visceral reaction from me. This is turning into a different kind of story. Like meeting a soulmate or someone I felt deep love and familiarity with. Yet, they also triggered that uncanny valley for me. My instincts noticed something was off. They looked too perfect to be human. I said to them telepathically, quote, "I know what you are," unquote. To which they smirked at me with unwavering eye contact and said, quote, "I know you do," unquote. And I was both suspicious and intrigued. Next thing I know, we were at the end of a long discussion I wasn't present for, and I asked this person something I don't recall. They responded with, quote, "Well, are you really sure you want to know the truth?" unquote, and I nodded. They said, quote, "You will know one day, but for now, this is going to hurt," unquote. And then I'm laying on my stomach with my back exposed and they pull out some sort of technology like you would see in a sci-fi movie, but more advanced, and it had a long needle coming off of it, and they gave me a spinal tap that burned so much that it woke me from my sleep and I felt the residual ache on my spine lingering after I woke up for a few minutes. It was the same atmosphere I felt in my room in the last story, too, and seemingly the same time at night, too, with the moonlight coming into my window. I fell asleep with no memory of it other than subconsciously referring to this person as my cosmic husband or cosmic soulmate, and I still to this day have this deep knowing that I will see them again one day. Kinky. The last was a frightening and disorienting sleep paralysis encountered during a nap I was taking in the afternoon after school. I had barely fallen asleep when I seemingly woke up. I thought it was odd how fast my nap went by as I just laid down. Everything in my room was normal except I noticed a lamp in the corner of it wasn't there before. Then my internal alarms began to go off and I felt a wave of dread wash over me and I noticed a dark figure standing behind the lamp. I panicked and felt like I suddenly was in danger and something sinister was after me. I closed my eyes, thinking it was a dream, and opened them to see this disturbing entity staring at me in the face with the most unnatural smile. It sort of looked like Voldemort from Harry Potter with the grin of the Cheshire Cat. I tried to scream and nothing came out, so I closed my eyes and felt my chest get heavier. I eventually woke myself up in a panic and sweating. I had only been asleep for less than 30 minutes, and I pretty much felt drained of all my energy and went into the family room where my mom was and crashed on the couch with no explanation. My mom told me she thought it was strange I was asleep at all because she said she heard me moving in my room nearby and figured I was awake. I was sleeping the whole time. Never had these experiences again. Not sure why, but as someone who is a medium and occult magician today, I know that whatever these were, they weren't remotely supernatural or paranormal. They were extraterrestrial, or at least very interdimensional and intentional. I've had lucid dreams with entities today due to my spiritual practices, but nothing like the last encounter, which was horrifying, and the first two encounters, which were surreal, yet still felt very celestial to me. The cosmic being I met, I still feel connected to. So, not so physical as the first two stories. Some sort of spiritual and or dreamscape telepathic communication type story for this third post.
I don't even know what the fuck to make of this one. I don't even know.
I mean, honestly, believability scale, I gotta give it a 10. It just sounds like they're talking about their dreams they had.
I mean, yeah, like, there's nothing that makes me think, oh, these are just, you know, not someone's dreams.
Right.
Like, these just sound like very plausible dreams.
Yeah. It just sounds like high school age in Infernal Wife was reading some smut, I guess. And reading some smut, watching Close Encounters, and having very related dreams that took a very sharp turn from saucy to horrifying, with the unnaturally handsome cosmic husband turning to probing and a spinal tap.
Yeah, that one was just fucked up.
Yeah.
So the first one made it seem like sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, that one I don't think was anything alien. Sleep paralysis makes sense. Mm-hmm. The door thing, there's a lot of times, depending on like what type of door you have, whether it's like the one where you just kind of like press in the lock or turn it, mm-hmm. where you think you did something when you're tired as shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just didn't.
Mm-hmm. I thought, I swear I locked my door last night. Or you're a tired high schooler and forgot to.
Yeah. Honestly, the weirdest one is this whole cosmic husband going yeah. into the spinal tap.
It's creepy. I think you should get a cosmic divorce at some point. That does not seem like a great cosmic marriage.
I mean,
even if he is unnaturally handsome.
It really doesn't. This almost reminds me, though, of like Peter Quill's mom in Guardians mm-hmm. 2, where mm-hmm. she just kind of looks upon Kurt Russell and just says, ah, yes, the greatest man in the world just happens to be a living planet.
Yeah, de-aged, Uncanny Valley, young Kurt Russell.
Yeah, so
unnaturally handsome.
My headcanon now is that this girl was crushing on Kurt Russell.
Weren't we all?
But the fact that this led to a spinal tap, did it say anything about like her like actively like waking up in pain or like any marks left or anything?
Gave me a spinal tap that burned so much that it woke me from my sleep, and I felt the residual ache on my spine lingering after I woke up for a few minutes. It was the same atmosphere that I felt in my room in the last story, and seemingly the same time of night too, with moonlight coming into my window. I fell asleep with no memory of it other than subconsciously referring to this person as my cosmic husband or cosmic soulmate. So no like physical damage, but like, yeah, nothing physically done, unless she took some psychic damage in that telepathic spinal tap.
Maybe. But like, is it possible to like have pain in a dream that you feel out in the real world? Like, I thought that's something that's actually like a real phenomena.
I'm not a fucking psychologist, but I would think so, right? Like you have dreams of like you're walking through a field and suddenly it starts to rain, or suddenly you're in a pool and then you wake up and it turns out you've wet the bed or something. So like maybe her back was hurting during the dream and it manifested in the dream as cosmic husband is giving me a spinal tap. Not an innuendo.
I mean, man, yeah, this cosmic husband thing is just crazy.
Yeah, somehow that's the creepiest part. not either of the paralysis demons, aliens, whatever. Somehow the cosmic husband is the creepier.
So it is possible to experience pain in dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to be that the dreamer experiences the pain. So I'm trying to figure out whether that's like, whether that means that like you only experience pain in the dream,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's also actual pain that you're experiencing in real life.
I do not know. But overall, I'd give this just a straight 10 believability. It sounds like it's true. You just had some dreams. Whether or not they're connected to aliens, we have no reason to believe that they're aliens. I think I gotta give this a 1 on the alien scale. But I'm glad she, as an occult magician, can differentiate between supernatural and extraterrestrial. I imagine that's, you know, good for your spirituality and good for your medium practice.
I mean, yes, you have a point there. I honestly think that first, according to my quick 2 minutes of research,
yes,
it is about 30% of the time that when you have a pain dream, that the source is something inherently physical.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you fuck up your shoulder in a dream, it's probably because you're sleeping in an awkward position that's hurting your shoulder.
Right.
So there's a 30% chance that she had some serious pain in her back in this weird Spinal Tap dream.
Mm. Was it an alien? Was she having a back spasm? Who knows?
What was the last one? The last one was like just the evil Cheshire Cat.
Voldemort with the Cheshire Cat grin. She says this is the last one. The Cheshire Voldemort is the only one that felt inherently sinister, even though your husband Spinal Tapped you, lady.
Okay, so that one felt sinister, and the mom says, oh, I thought you weren't asleep, because I heard moving.
But yeah, OP went, after waking up from the Cheshire Voldemort dream, OP went to the family room and passed out there. Mom says it's strange. She heard movement in OP's room. Which, maybe OP's a sleepwalker. Or maybe OP was just having a weird dream and was thrashing around a bit.
Maybe. On all of those things.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think I'm going to give it a 3 on the alien scale.
Because
I think it's possible, but also when I hear, I know this isn't the occult because I'm a medium.
Right. I don't know how you separate that. Can you tell the difference in a palm reading?
I really don't know how to separate that. But honestly, the only thing that comes to my mind when just going back through this post in my head is M. Night Shyamalan and Signs. Spoilers for the audience if you've never seen it. This is 22 years old. The aliens that they think are aliens are just demons. Well, okay. They never say it in the movie. But the aliens are allergic to water, and all of the water is in this pastor's house, so the theory is that it's all holy water, and that they're secretly demons.
I have not heard that Signs theory, nor have I watched Signs.
Well, dang, God, you had 22 years.
But I'm 25.
You're telling me you couldn't have understood an M. Night Shyamalan movie at the age of 3? Those are rookie numbers.
Fair.
But either way, this definitely basically just sounds like the inspiration behind M. Night Shyamalan's Signs. Mm. Or they basically just took that theory of what if aliens were demons and then said, but can't aliens also be angels too? And then just kind of ran with it.
Yeah.
However, like you, I do believe that without an explanation, these all seem like very plausible, like, sleep paralysis dreams.
Yeah. Well, we'll leave that. The questions of the differences between the paranormal and the extraterrestrial to Infernal Wife. No shade to occultists. You do you. But we'll move on, see how many more posts we can get through. With our next post, from r/alien from user mazjam126. In 2022, there was a day I didn't sleep the whole night. Usual habit. Then, after hours passed in the night, I tried to sleep, but someone from my family disturbed my sleep and I had to wake. When they left, I tried to sleep again. I was trying hard because my brain was telling me to sleep, but somehow I couldn't. Then, suddenly, my eyes were shut. I saw myself in outer space. Up front of me was a tall alien. I'm 6 foot, and that was taller than me. He was probably an adult. You don't know. Maybe aliens shrink as they get older. The creature was gray, big, and peaceful eyes, someone that doesn't like conflict or is an alien to conflict itself. Very insightful. We were either on a planet or a large ship, as behind the alien was a black hole that was fascinatingly beautiful enough that it caught my eye for a while, and I ignored the aliens just to see that phenomenon. The black hole had white light surrounding it, and it seemed as if it were a huge black hole. Yet it seemed like we were close to it. It felt like it was something to be viewed. Then, after viewing the black hole, a child alien appeared whose height was a bit shorter than me, and he/she was approaching towards me, and then I woke up. To this day, I don't know if it was a dream or I was abducted to outer space, as it felt very, very real. I've seen and talked to aliens in dreams after that, but this was the first time I experienced something like this. The whole scenario was peaceful enough. There were no rush, no sound. The place seemed far from Earth, and ultimately, it felt like us humans and aliens are curious as well. Sounds like it's just another dream.
This dude was fucking running on, like, what, 48 hours without sleep close to?
Mm-hmm.
And then just ends up crashing. Of course you're going to have fucking crazy dreams.
I want to see a black hole in my dream. That sounds cool.
I mean, he described the black hole right, which is that you're going to see some almost kind of like corona. You've seen the imaging of it. Which basically
I've seen Interstellar.
Yeah, I was going to say the event horizon around it is going to basically be a bright line of light. And as soon as you cross it, you're fucked. You're in a black hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one just honestly seems like the dreams of a very, very sleep-deprived man. And when you're very sleep-deprived, your dreams are out there.
Yeah. I like their point that the planet or ship that they were on was really close to the black hole, and it felt like the black hole was... Like, wherever they were, the intention was to look at the black hole. So it feels very much like these aliens abducted OP just to be like, hey, check this shit out. It's pretty cool, right? We do this all the time.
And that sounds like something that I would have conjured up in a dream.
That's what I'd do if I were an alien. Just abduct lesser species and show them crazy shit. Make them doubt their existence.
That would be pretty epic. Yeah. I gotta admit, I would probably do that as an alien too. But I just don't think that there were aliens doing it with this guy.
No.
I think he just kind of dreamed up the aliens.
Yeah. 10 believability. You had a dream. One alien.
One on alien.
Yeah. Pretty quick story. Pretty easy. And we'll finish up with this last story, which... There's a part of this story, and I'll see how you graft onto it. There's a part of this story that I find to be possibly the most interesting point in all of these stories. Here we go. This is from r/alien abduction, a whole fucking subreddit dedicated to alien abduction stories. And the post being, honestly, has anyone had a real encounter with aliens? From user missingpieces82. Here we go. So, I can't prove I have, but certainly I have had experiences which would constitute as similar to abduction accounts. Good start. Between the ages of 4 and 11, I had a recurring dream/experience where I'd wake up in my bed, look out my window behind my headboard, and see a white dot in the sky, which would stop above the house. Next, a couple of quote-unquote ghosts would be floating outside the window, and they'd come inside and try to play with me, usually involving tickling. I didn't like their long fingers. They would chase me through my bedroom and down the stairs. I'd feel like I was being pulled back towards them. If I made it downstairs, they'd run along the hallway, and the ghosts would be following me with a taller ghost behind them. I'd get into the living room, and sometimes it was empty. Other times, my parents would be sat there, totally motionless, staring at the TV. If it was on, it would be on static. I'd be screaming, but they would just sit totally unaware of me. Then the ghost would get me and take me up, and then through a hatch. I'd then be in a huge cylindrical room with an oily metallic wall and a podium thing in the middle where another tall person was who I called, quote-unquote, the witch. The witch asked me 3 questions, but I always got them wrong, and a hatch would open and I'd drop and suddenly wake up in bed with a jolt, parentheses, and no, I don't remember the questions. Years later, my dad and brother were cleaning the loft out and found a school workbook from when I was 6. I wrote the story above, parentheses, in less detail, though I was six, and called it Nightmares. On the back of the page, I drew what simply looked like a UFO in the sky with a gray alien in the bottom of the window. This was in 1988, before I'd seen Close Encounters or had any idea of grays or UFO stuff. In 2012, I started a UFO group, and a woman brought a book with her by abductee Stephen Jones called An Invitation to the Dance. In it, he wrote about gray aliens playing with him and taking him on a ship where he met someone he called the Witch. Jones grew up only 50 or so miles from where I grew up. End of story.
Okay, so first of all, that one did give me some goosebumps.
Yeah.
Because this one is just creepy as fuck. This one is genuinely, like, scary alien story.
Mm-hmm. Chasing child OP around his bedroom and house and the static on the TV and the parents staring blankly, not responding to your screams. And like that note of it felt like I was getting drawn back to them as I was running away from them. That's like a very like dream kind of scenario where you're trying to run away from a threat and you're running standstill or you feel like you're being like space is slipping in the wrong direction as you're trying to run away. Very scary.
Yeah.
And the fucking note of I met another abductee where he wrote a fucking book about an alien figures going, you know, playing with him around his house, and there was another figure called the Witch, and Jones only grew up 50 or so miles away from where I grew up. Very coincidental.
Extremely coincidental. I feel like no matter where I put this on the alien and believability scale, 10 out of 10, I want this to be real.
I kind of want to read An Invitation to the Dance by Stephen Jones now.
I also really want to read this.
Stephen, if you're out there, come on the podcast.
What I find interesting is the fact that he said, or whoever OP, he or she,
mm-hmm.
said that when their parents were downstairs, they would basically be motionless.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV would always be on static. And these ghost-like aliens would always come through his window. So the question I have is, what happened to your parents that didn't happen to you?
Well, all these events happened in OP's dream, so he would dream of the ghosts. He would dream of the light through his window and the ghosts coming in and chasing him and the parents being frozen and the static on the TV. It all happened in a dream that apparently they shared with fellow abductee Stephen Jones. And he would, and OP would dream about the witch and the witch's questions.
That is very interesting. I would say what I'm looking up right now is something called collective dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is not an unusual thing. I think yeah. with the amount of detail that OP says was similar between his and Stephen Jones, that is very unusual. But like this idea of like collective dreams of, you know, like similar dream scenarios isn't a completely unusual phenomena. So it is grounded in reality. I would almost say that out of all of these stories, though, this last one, I would almost say seems to be the most malevolent, if not like the second most malevolent, given like the third dream of, what was it, two stories ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just really disappointed that we didn't get any details on like what the three questions always asked were.
Yeah, OP says they can't remember. Now you can buy a copy of an Invitation to the Dance, The Awakening of the Extended Human Family by Stephen Jones for $8.48.
I would say it may be worth it with this last story to just do like a book review episode.
Yeah. Seeing if I can find an excerpt anywhere.
I mean, the biggest thing here, I think, has to be how similar was OP's story to Stephen Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Because I would say the more details from this book that seem like they're in the Reddit story, I'm like, they mm-hmm. probably just took something from the book just to make it seem cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that could be it. They could have read the story and been like, yeah, this happened to me too.
Yeah.
That's
but
a
then,
good point.
But then, like, this whole thing of, like, I basically drew a UFO on the back of, like, a thing in kindergarten and basically wrote down the story with far less detail.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I may have a bit of an Invitation to the Dance pulled up. Let's see. Fucking Steven wrote a lot of shit. I'm trying to get to the section about the witch that I saw on the table of contents. Okay, yeah, part one, the childhood years. Experience the witch. Quote, a quote from Glinda the Good Witch of Wizards of Oz that I can read after this ad. Come out, wherever you are, and meet the young lady who fell from a star. Okay, so this is set in London, 1962. We can do a little bit of this before we wrap up. Once upon a time, in a magical faraway land, there lived a young boy. Each day for him was a new adventure filled with natural wonder and marvel of life. Some might say that this world was one of fantasy, but he knew differently. In fact, as he observed those around him, he knew that it was their world and not his. That was an illusion. He always knew that there were other children like him, but it would be many years before they were noticed. He often wondered, though, if any of the grown-ups had ever seen what he had seen, or felt what he had felt. He thought that they probably had before they had become grown-ups, probably. The geographical location of the magical land is not hard to find, but what went on there might be more difficult to pin down. The actual place was South London in England. The year was 1962, and I was a young boy. I was 5 years old. I had a group of very special friends. It was in that year that they first came to play with me. To begin with, they would only visit me at nighttime when I went to bed before I went to sleep. But as the years went by, they would arrive at all different times of the day and night. My most special friend, and the one that came to me first of all, I called the witch. It wasn't because she looked like a witch, not at all. It wasn't because of her behavior was frightening either, for I was never scared of her. Actually, I was never scared of anything at the time. Fear was not an emotion that I would be taught to experience. Rather than learn organically, The simple reason for calling her the witch was because she could fly. I couldn't tell you how I knew she was female, because she certainly didn't look like any ladies I knew. I always knew when the witch was going to call, because during the daytime I would get the, quote, tummy tickles, unquote, as I like to describe them, a feeling of butterflies flapping around my little tummy. As I would potter around my little world, my stomach would start to feel strange, and this would always herald a nighttime visitation. It was as if there was an invisible thread that was attached to my midriff that would produce a peculiar pulling sensation. When this occurred, it was always accompanied by a tingling feeling that would eventually resonate throughout my whole body. On these occasions, unlike most other children at bedtime, my parents would not have any trouble persuading me to make that trip up the hill to Bedfordshire. It's a very English statement. In fact, I would rapidly undress myself, don my strippy, soft and comfy, never heard pajamas called that, flannel pajamas, and jump enthusiastically straight into bed. After refusing the offer of any bedtime story, I would snuggle down under the covers as my daddy kissed me goodnight and tucked me in so tight at first I could hardly move. And I guess it goes on to explain his visitations with the witch. So there you go. Stephen Jones. An invitation to the dance.
Okay, so see, there are some similarities, but it's just different enough that, like,
yeah,
that, like, mm-hmm. OP had, like, a negative reaction
mm-hmm.
to this, and Stephen Jones apparently just happened to be best friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think believability, I'm gonna go having, like, a recurring, almost, like, plot line of dreams just seems so unusual to me. I think I'm going to go, I want it to be 10 out of 10. I think it's probably a 4 out of 10. And I think it's 10 out of 10 aliens.
If it's real, it's definitely aliens.
If it's real, I think this one has to be aliens.
Hmm.
Like, there is absolutely no reason why this would be something supernatural. I think it's a 4 out of 10 believability, because it's out there.
Yeah.
But also, if it's real, this is 100% aliens. I just find it intriguing. It almost describes aliens like ghosts, though.
Uh-huh.
But it's, like, different shaped ghosts. Like, you can tell size from them. And, like, they can speak to you intelligibly and, like, clearly. Because, like, if you were to believe all of, like, the ghost TV shows you'd see on Travel Channel over, like, the past 2 decades, you wouldn't get that same vibe for basically mm-hmm. the amount of, like, freedom and control that ghosts have. So I may come down to, like, 9 out of 10 on aliens.
Okay.
But I'm definitely feeling this is more aliens than anything else.
On a cursory glance of the text, I don't immediately see any reference to three questions or anything like that. Also, on this cursory glance, it does occur to me that it's not strippy. He's not referring to his pajamas as strippy. He's saying stripy, soft and comfy flannel pajamas. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think I would go a little higher on the believability, because having recurring dreams, especially as a child, when you're lying awake at night and your imagination is running and you're thinking about these dreams and you start to connect them to bodily feelings, that makes you excited for the dream, makes you concentrate on the dreams. It's almost like the methods for lucid dreaming, where you have to train your brain to lucid dream. So he's almost like training himself to dream about the witch by, like, every time I feel the tummy tickles, ooh, this means it's going to be a witch dream tonight.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're feeling it like that, I feel like there's a difference between the Stephen Jones story and the OP story. I feel like the OP.
Yeah, I guess I'm focusing on Steve right now. Yeah.
I feel like the OP story would actually be more believable given your kind of round of thought. because I feel like recurring nightmares are much more common.
Sure, sure.
Than like a recurring like happy dream.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, I think I'll come up a bit on the believability. I think I'll give it like a 5.5.
5.5. And a 9 aliens.
And still a 9 aliens. Do I want this to exist? Yeah. Hell yes.
Yeah. See, that sounds like a cool terminology for aliens. This race of this species of aliens has a class of matriarchal leaders known as the witches. Very very sci-fi, very science fantasy vibes. But on the idea of recurring dreams, going back to user/missing pieces post, it does feel like a sort of recurring nightmare that, you know, a young child would feel the stresses of, and, you know, accidentally train themselves to have. So in that light, I'll probably put believability at a 6. And the believability is like, part of where I'm at with the believability of this story is he refers to his female alien figure as the witch, and Stephen Jones refers to his best friend alien as the witch. But I feel like that's a common enough phrasing for the mind of a child, especially in fucking South London, I guess. Like if there's a scary lady when you're 6 years old, you get and think, oh, she's a witch. Or if she seemingly has some kind of otherworldly power like flight in Stephen Jones's case, then you're gonna think she's got magic, she's a witch. So I feel like that is a coincidence in the two stories, if it's not aliens, if they're not the two of the same stories. Although the 50-mile distance between Missing Pieces and Stephen Jones, that's pretty crazy.
That's not that far.
That's pretty crazy.
That's not that far if we're talking about these like faster than light or near light speed.
Right.
Things that are driving the aliens, that's like 3 seconds.
Yeah, so they've been scoping out this area since the fucking 60s or whatever it was. So believability scale, I'll give it a 6. I'll give it a 6 because I feel like there's enough coincidence in there that, oh yeah, I called my dream scary lady the witch because she was a scary lady and I was 6 years old. And I called my dream lady the witch because she looked magical. Now on the alien scale, it's believable enough that they both would have had these separate recurring dreams as kids. Now I'm kind of invested and I want to read more of An Invitation to the Dance. But
I think we should leave that for another episode.
For the future, yes.
I would say, everybody, if you want a book review of Stephen Jones' Invitation to the Dance, let us know.
If you have Stephen's contact info, let us know. We'll get him on the podcast. But for now, until we have Stephen on the show, I'll give the alien ranking a 5. I'll give that alien ranking a 5 until we can have Steve on with us to back up his story.
Fair rating.
But I guess, Cole, at the end of this, have any of these stories made you believe more in aliens? I think I'm still stuck on the Stephen Jones witch coincidence, but
I don't think any of them have made me believe more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the two weirdly like cross supernatural ones with aliens showing up in the dreams,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
have made me kind of skeptical on whether aliens are good or bad.
Mm, fair. Spooky.
Yeah, so if anything, I feel slightly more spooked on those stories.
Mm. Well, dear audience, as a call to arms for this episode, how would you rate your believability and alien scales for any of these stories? Have you had any close encounters with aliens and or ghosts? Are there any other stories that you'd like us to cover on a sequel episode to this, talk more about alien encounters, or what other types of encounters would you like us to discuss in future Reddit Stories episodes, whether it's ghosts or cryptids or angels, I guess? I don't know.
I was going to say we could always do something on demons and, like, possession.
Ooh, yeah. But let us know in the comments.
All right. Well, everybody, I think it is time to sign off. Thank you for joining us for this Alien Reddit Stories episode. And for now, I am Cole Browning.
I'm Kevin MacArthur.
And this has been Unquestionably Nerdy. Peace.